Please turn in your New Testament to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we want to read verse 7. Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. I say unto you, it is Jesus speaking, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This morning we based our lesson on a statement that was made by the Apostle Paul. It's found in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. He was helping the people in Athens learn some things about the one true God. And as he did so, he pointed out that God commands all men everywhere to repent. But it was interesting that while Paul was in Athens, where idolatry was widespread, he was given an opportunity to preach to the people there. And they had a tendency to just want to hear something new all the time. Well, Paul told them about the one true God, but as he did so, he made the point that God requires all men everywhere to repent. Now this evening we want to concentrate on a principle that Jesus revealed in the verse we just read, Luke 15 and verse 7. And that principle is repentance produces joy in heaven. So that's what we want to emphasize this evening in our study. Repentance produces joy in heaven. We've already shown earlier today that God requires all men everywhere to repent. But when men do repent, it produces joy in heaven. That's good news. Now, Jesus illustrated that principle in a powerful way in Luke chapter 15. He presented three of his parables to illustrate just how repentance produces joy in heaven. It was prophesied in the book of Psalms that Jesus would come speaking in parables. And he presented much of his teaching through the use of parables. Now in Matthew chapter 13, we have a number of our Lord's parables recorded. And the statement is made that without a parable, he spoke not unto them. That just simply means on that particular occasion, Jesus did all of his teaching through the use of parables. Jesus did not always use parables. Quite often he did. But it was prophesied in the book of Psalms that Jesus would come speaking through parables, and he did much of his teaching through the use of parables. Well, let's determine why our Lord presented these particular parables. I found this to be very helpful when you're studying the parables. Try to determine the purpose for which Jesus told the particular parable that you're studying. It will make a lot more sense. Things will just fall into place. So that's a good place to begin. When you're studying the parables, look at the context very carefully and determine exactly why Jesus presented parables. Now, there are other Bible characters who used parables. Sometimes people are amazed to find this out, but we'll find a number of parables in the Old Testament. But Jesus did present much of his teaching through the use of parables. Why did he present these particular parables that we're concerned about this evening in Luke chapter 15? Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 of Luke 15 explain the situation that existed. And the situation that existed prompted Jesus to relate these particular parables. Look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Well, this verse shows us how the publicans and the sinners came to Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Now, who are these people? The publicans were tax collectors. To be more specific, they were Jewish people who collected taxes from the Jews on behalf of the Romans. You can just imagine that they were looked down upon. You see, the Jews did not appreciate the fact that the Romans occupied their land. And here, some of their own people are collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans. Well, they were basically despised for that, but it's my understanding that many of the publicans liked to abuse the offices that they held, that they would take more than they were entitled to, and sometimes they were not very scrupulous. That's not to say that all publicans were bad, because we read about several men who served as publicans who were honest and forthright. But this had to do with their general reputation. They were looked down upon by the Jewish people. Now the sinners, that's a great big group of people who were guilty of all types of transgressions of God's will. So here we have the publicans and the sinners on the one hand who drew near to our Lord. And they drew near to him for the purpose of hearing what he had to say. Well, the Bible teaches that Jesus came to save publicans and sinners, as well as everyone else that could be classified as a sinner. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 for a moment. Luke chapter 5, and we want to read a few verses starting at verse 27. I've always thought it was interesting that our Lord chose a publican as one of his apostles. His name was Matthew, also referred to in the Bible as Levi. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and called a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus indicated that he came for the purpose of calling sinners to repentance. What a wonderful opportunity was given to our Lord. He had chosen Matthew or Levi to be one of his apostles. How does he respond? He prepares a great feast, and there are many of his friends there, publicans and sinners, and they were all eating together. But the religious folks, the scribes and the Pharisees, murmured against the Lord's followers because they had the audacity to eat with these people. Jesus indicated that he came to save such people. I can't help but think that it put a smile on our Lord's face when the publicans and the sinners drew near to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Well, Jesus also indicated in Luke 19 and verse 10 that he came to save such people. He said, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, the good news is many publicans and sinners repented and became followers of Christ. That produced great joy in heaven. So when you think about the people who were present on this occasion, on the one hand, there were the publicans and the sinners. They drew near to our Lord for the purpose of hearing what he had to say. Jesus came to save them. Well, he told them what to do to be saved. And many of them repented and followed his instructions. Well, look at verse 2. Verse 2 shows us how the Pharisees and the scribes felt. Verse 2 says, And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do you that which is not... back in chapter 6. Let's go back to chapter 15. I'm sorry. Luke 15 and verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So verse 1 indicates that the publicans and the sinners drew near to our Lord for the purpose of hearing him. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured because of that. They did not appreciate the fact that Jesus spent some time tending to the spiritual needs of these people, and he ate with them. It's sad. That's a lesson I had to learn the hard way a long, long time ago. I've always tried to remember it. It can avoid some heartache. It's sad, but hypocrites like these people have a way of trying to ruin good things that happen. I don't know why that's the case, but when something good happens, you can count on the fact that someone's not going to like it. Now, I know who's behind it. We all know who's behind it. But we just need to accept that fact. Here, the Lord is surrounded by people who want to hear him. They have great spiritual needs. He came to save them. No doubt he was happy because of that. And then these religious folks are murmuring and complaining that he was spending time with these people. Well, there was joy in heaven when the publicans and the sinners drew near to the Lord, heard him, and responded as he wanted them to. Well, it's just unfortunate that the scribes and the Pharisees, who should have been happy themselves, murmured. Well, to illustrate how joy is experienced in heaven when sinners repent, Jesus presented three parables. So keep in mind when you study Luke chapter 15, the situation that existed. It's revealed in verses 1 and 2. The sinners and the publicans drew near to Jesus to hear him, but then there were the scribes and the Pharisees who murmured because Jesus associated with such people. The fact is, the repentance of a sinner produces joy in heaven. And Jesus illustrated that principle in a powerful way through these parables. Let's look at the first parable in verses 3 through 7, and this is the parable of the lost sheep. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In this particular parable, Jesus showed that finding a lost sheep produced joy. The man who owned the sheep was happy. By the way, he searched diligently for it until he found it. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and he took it home. He was a happy man. He was so happy that he called others to rejoice with him. It was a happy occasion. He called his friends and his neighbors to rejoice with him. But Jesus revealed the lesson in verse 7. The repentance of one sinner produces joy in heaven. Remember the situation. The publicans and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. Many of them responded in the right way. That produced joy in heaven. Unfortunately, the scribes and the Pharisees did not see it that way. I have a tendency to be very careful when it comes to looking at pictures that someone has produced that are supposed to be likenesses of our Lord. We don't know what he looked like. I think one of these days a lot of people will be surprised when they actually see his features. But occasionally I see someone who has prepared a picture. Sometimes it will be on a stained glass window of the shepherd coming home with that little sheep on his shoulders. In my judgment, that is a beautiful representation of our Lord. He's concerned about one sheep. Now, someone else might say, well, I've got 99, one won't be missed, not this good shepherd. And remember, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's concerned about every sheep. And he went and he found this one. And when he brought it home, it was a time for rejoicing. Well, let's look at another parable, verses 8 through 10. This is the parable of the lost piece of silver. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and clean diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now here's a lady who has 10 pieces of silver. She loses one. And she searches diligently until she finds it. Can you imagine the cleaning that that lady gave to her house when she was looking for that piece of silver? Well, I think it's sufficient to say she turned that place upside down because she was missing something that was very important to her. And she didn't stop searching for it until she found it. But when she found it, it was a happy occasion. It was a time for rejoicing. So what does she do? She calls her friends together to rejoice with her. Now Jesus revealed his lesson in verse 10. And it's the same lesson he's already taught. The repentance of one sinner produces joy in the presence of the angels of God. Well, who is that referring to? It doesn't say that the angels are rejoicing, although I believe they do. But it says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who's in the presence of the angels? Well, it's God himself. So our Lord presented two parables to illustrate the point that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Now, those are heart-touching stories. But the real heart-touching story is the last one because it involves a lost son. The first parable involved a lost sheep. The second parable involved a lost piece of silver. But then this last parable involves a lost son. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. The return of the lost son produced great joy. At least it produced joy in the heart of his father. It was a happy occasion. The young man left, wanted to go to a far country, and that's what he did. He received his portion of the inheritance early, but he wasted it. Then he began to be in need, and he was desperate. So desperate that he was willing to feed hogs. How disgusting that would have been for a young Jewish man. But to make matters worse, he was willing to eat the things that the hogs ate. But there's one thing about being that low. There's only one way to look, and that's up. Now, thankfully, this young man did look up. He remembered how well he had it at his father's house. He remembered that his father's servants were better off than he was. So, he's no longer filled with pride. In the spirit of humility, he's going to go home, and he's going to ask his father to make him as a hired servant. Well, he went home, but he got much more than what he thought he'd get on that day. His father received him back as his son. And it was a time for rejoicing. I've taught from this particular parable so many times that the characters just seem real. Well, I'll be able to place some names on them. But this is a story that Jesus told to illustrate the point that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Well, the young son came home. It was a happy occasion. The father was happy. But there was one person who wasn't happy, and that was the older brother. Remember the situation. The publicans and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. The scribes and the Pharisees murmured because Jesus received such people. I think it's interesting that in the first two parables, Jesus illustrated the joy that was experienced when something was lost and then found. He did not bring up the fact that there were some people who were not happy. But when he came to that third parable, he made his point very clear. When he talked about the older son, you can see the scribes and the Pharisees all over this young man. He wasn't happy that his brother was home. Matter of fact, he called him your son, speaking to his father. But his father said, your brother. Isn't it sad that the older son was not happy? That was a joyous occasion. His brother was home who had been lost. Father considered him dead, but he was alive. One of my favorite Old Testament stories has to do with the reunification between Joseph and Jacob. Jacob thought for years that his son Joseph was dead. He thought that a wild animal had killed him. And he grieved very deeply over that. And then to find out that his boy was alive, he just couldn't handle it. But then when he saw the things that Joseph sent from Egypt, he realized that there had to be something to what his brothers were saying about him. So he said, I'll go and I'll see my son. So he made the trip to Egypt. And when they met, that was a beautiful story. They wept on each other for a good while. Sometimes I think there are some, what I would consider to be understatements found in the scriptures. I'm not trying to say anything derogatory about the Bible at all. You know me better than that. But when the Bible says they wept on each other for a good long while, I just figure it was a long, long, they had a good cry. Imagine all the anguish that both of them had felt, and it finally came out. Well, imagine how the father in this parable felt when his younger boy came home. But then there's the older son who wasn't happy. He was concerned that he didn't receive the attention that his younger brother had received. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes should have been rejoicing when the publicans and the sinners came to Jesus. Unfortunately, they had the attitude of the older son in the parable. I'd like to know if that parable struck a nerve with any of the scribes and the Pharisees. I know this, if it didn't, they had hard hearts. I've been studying that parable for years. I've taught from it many, many times and intend to continue doing so. Every time I read it and study it and teach from it, it touches me. And it's a powerful story, but it presents a powerful lesson. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So the conversion of a sinner causes joy to be experienced in heaven. That ought to cause us to examine ourselves on a regular basis to determine if we truly are in good standing with God. And if repentance needs to take place, then the Lord will help us to do that if we ask Him. But it ought to impact our lives to the point that we want to try to do what we can to help others get prepared to see the Lord at the judgment. Because when one sinner repents, it is a happy occasion. Well, I remember many years ago, at the time, Teresa and I were living in South Texas. My parents, of course, lived in Jacksonville, and my dad was scheduled to have some very serious surgery. Now, he was concerned that his youngest boy wasn't home. He had his daughter there, and he had his other two sons there, but his youngest boy wasn't there. So he told his wife, my mother, you get on the phone and you call Raymond and you tell him to get here because I want to see him before I have this surgery. Well, I made that trip. It was exactly 1,000 miles. And when we met one another, nothing had to be said. But I can tell you it was a happy occasion. He had the surgery and everything went well, and I'm glad for that. But I think that sort of illustrates, in a personal way, the great affection that a father has for his son when he's away from him. And how that when they are reunited, there is great joy that takes place. Let's remember this great principle that Jesus taught on that occasion. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents.